Hour number two of the program brought to you by our friends at Worth Harley-Davidson North. The ultimate spot to get your Harley-Davidson motorcycle is at Worth Harley-Davidson North, 9400 Northwest Prairie View Road. And if you've got a title on something, they'll trade for it. Go see them right now. Their Big Ten event is going on. And employee pricing on all pre-owned Harley-Davidsons right now at Worth Harley-Davidson North. Nobody does a better job of getting you financed than the guys at Worth as well. Go see them for the best selection of Harley-Davidson motorcycles in the Midwest. It's at I-29 and Tiffany Springs, 9400 Northwest Prairie View Road. We talk some Chiefs football. Adam Teicher is with ESPN, does a fantastic job, has done a fantastic job covering the Kansas City Chiefs. He's brought to you by Xfinity. Xfinity X1 will change the way Chiefs fans experience TV, tracking live stats and scores right there on the TVs with Xfinity X1. Any screen's a TV with the Xfinity TV app. Stream any channel live on any device around your home. Adam, welcome to the Sprint Guest Line. How are you, my friend?
Good, Sprint. How are you doing today?
Good. I'll pose the question we talked about and kicked around amongst ourselves here and with a number of the listeners in the first hour. What do you want to see tonight from the Kansas City Chiefs? Is there one thing overall or one specific player, anything in particular that you definitively want to see tonight?
Just a defense with some teeth in it. Just don't look like last year's defense again. And I don't expect them to bust out a bunch of, you know, exotic blitzes or anything like that. But I expect them to do a little better than they did last week. You know, stop the run or do a better job at stopping the run. Get after the quarterback a little bit. Make a play in the secondary. Don't let a backup quarterback tear the starting defense apart. I mean, I'm just looking for defensive improvement. You know, it's not too early to start seeing some signs that this defense is coming together, because you know, we're not that far off. And you know, I know that some of these guys probably aren't going to play again tonight, some of the main guys, but it's not like the Chiefs are going to have to play with eight or nine guys on defense. You know, they'll be able to field a full team, and it's just time for them to get something done. To me, that's where the real intrigue lies. I want to see some better play from the defense.
All right. On Tuesday, I had Andy Reid in the program and talked to him about the toughness aspect that, you know, a lot of people, you know, we heard Brett Veach say a number of times, you know, toughness, that's what they were looking for and what they were doing in the draft. I said, when does the toughness happen? Is it something that you begin day one in training camp, or is it a switch that you can flip going into the first regular season game? And he talked about the fact that they have tough practices, their physical practices. He said, listen, when we have tackling, we tackle all the way to the ground. I took that to mean we teach and preach and work towards being tough from day one. If that's the case, why haven't they been tough? Like, if we were to reverse engineer it, I bring it up to say, okay, if you can figure out why you're not tough, because I think Andy Reid defenses in Philadelphia were tough. Do you agree?
Yeah, I'd say generally speaking, sure.
All right, and so, you know, that immediately puts it over on Bob Sutton's plate. Okay, well, he's not Jim Johnson. He's not the different defensive coordinators that Andy Reid had, so why isn't he tough? You know, he came, his most recent stop, from a Rex Ryan defense. I think they're known as tough. They're known as physical. They're known as aggressive. Andy Reid said, first time I interviewed him before the 2013 season, right after his press conference to announce he was the head coach, you know, what's your philosophy on defense? He said, you know, you get after the quarterback. I mean, it wasn't Al Davis is the quarterback, must go down, and he must go down hard. But he said, you come after the quarterback, and when you come, you bring it, and you get there. And he talked about being aggressive and physical and blitzing and all that kind of thing. What's happened? Why haven't they gotten to that, at least over the last year or two? Is it an inability on the defensive line, at the linebacker position, in the secondary? Do you have even a beginning on where you'd circle and say this is where the problem lies and why they haven't been a quote-unquote tough defense?
Well, if you listen to Brett Veach, they haven't had the right guys. And I think you can probably look at some of the guys that they've had that they no longer have, and I guess I'm mainly talking about Marcus Peters here. You're not a physical player, you know, not a guy that would hit you. And you know, maybe Ron Parker was a little bit that way. So, you know, some of the guys they got rid of during the offseason were guys that you wouldn't probably call physical players. So, you know, you listen to him, guys like Reggie Ragland and Hitchens and, you know, even maybe to a lesser extent, Eric Berry coming back and Xavier Williams. I mean, these are all guys who are Brett Veach's kind of guys, you know, guys who can play or have the reputation of playing that way. I think we saw a little bit of that from Xavier Williams last week, but he was the only one of those guys who played. So I agree that you can't turn toughness on and off. I mean, you either have it or you don't. I mean, guys play with an attitude or they don't. And clearly that's what the Chiefs were looking for, were guys who would play that way, who were those kinds of guys. And, you know, unfortunately, it doesn't look like at least some of those guys are going to play again tonight. But, you know, again, it's just to me, it's not too early to get some things done defensively, whether Anthony Hitchens is in the lineup or Eric Berry's in the lineup or not. I mean, I think the Chiefs can still, you know, have enough good players where they can stand up a little better to the opposition than they did the other night.
Eric Berry's not going to play. Who else do you expect to not play?
I would think that Hitchens is probably another week away, would be my guess. Possibly Ragland I would put in that category. If I had to guess, I would say neither of those guys would play. You know, certainly. And then on offense, you got some guys like Damian Williams and guys like that. DuVernay-Tardif. Who am I forgetting? Am I forgetting somebody? Seems like there's somebody I'm not thinking of right now. But those would be the guys who come to mind right now.
Eric Berry is certainly a tough football player, right? I mean, no, he's as physical as it gets, as physical as you can be at the size he brings. I mean, he will come up and take a back on, head up. He will blow guys up in the backfield. Is it as simple as Eric Berry? When he gets healthy, if he gets healthy, and I'm going to ask you about how concerned you are about his health, is it as simple as when he gets back, it's all fixed?
I wouldn't say it's all fixed. No. I think there's more to be done, but he's a big piece of it. You know, he plays the way the Chiefs want the game played on defense, and as you say, but, you know, he's just also a guy that the Chiefs are better when he's around. I mean, he's the one guy in the locker room that when he talks, everybody stops and listens to him. I mean, there's no extraneous stuff coming from Eric Berry. I mean, it's all you know, when he talks, he means it, and it's serious stuff. So, I mean, there's not a lot of rah-rah type stuff. It's all, you know, wisdom type stuff. So they're just a better team when he's around. So, you know, the sooner he can get back in there, I think the better it is for the Chiefs, for sure.
What is the answer without Eric Berry and now without Daniel Sorensen? Who is? And you know, safeties are now leaving the team as well. What is the answer at safety? Who's got the lead on what we're going to see if Eric Berry's not ready to go come week one at L.A.?
Yeah, well, they're going to be looking really closely at the waiver wires and hoping somebody good comes loose because they've got to do something. I don't think, even with Eric Berry right now, I just see a lot of wishful thinking going on there. I mean, they may have the right guy there. You know, a guy who kind of looked good, a younger player who looked good early in camp was a guy named Leon McQuay, a sixth-round draft choice last year. Didn't play a lot as a rookie. But I thought he was okay during the offseason stuff. And then I thought he was playing pretty well early in camp, and then he got a hamstring and he was out for a week or 10 days or whatever. Didn't play last week. He may be back in there tonight. That's a guy that I know the Chiefs have some hopes for, and maybe he'll work out a little bit. But right now, even with Eric Berry, who do you like at safety there? I mean, who you know, maybe McQuay, maybe Eric Murray, but you're asking some young guys to do some things that they haven't done before, you know, and that's a pretty big leap in my mind. So, you know, even with Berry in there, I think they got to do something. That's probably even more than corner right now. I think that's just the biggest position to need.
What is reasonable to expect from this draft class? I mean, what should be our expectation on how many guys end up being starters out of this six? Is it six man? I think it's a six man draft class, isn't it? When it was all said and done after they moved up,
yeah.
How many do we expect to actually start? How many should start?
I don't know that any of them are going to be what you call starters. I mean, guys who are, you know, on the field for every play, you know, Speaks and Mix in there some. And, you know, maybe Tre'Von Smith, you know, we'll have to see how he continues to come along. I don't know that Watts is there yet. I'd be surprised if that was going to happen. You know, Dorian O'Daniel might get some playing time, but he's not going to be a starter. So in terms of starters, I don't know that you have any of these guys who are going to wind up doing that. You know, I guess we're not there yet to figure out who's going to be playing at least early in the season. But the only one I see having any kind of a chance to have any kind of major impact, at least early in the season right now, is Speaks.
Amani Watts doesn't make that list?
I don't think so. I think he's far enough away where he's not going to be a starter. I mean, something's going to have to change between now and the start of the regular season. He's going to have to really come on for the Chiefs to see him as a starter. No, I don't see Watts as being a starter. I'm not saying he might start tonight. I don't know what they have planned. I would think they're going to try to get McQuay a little more involved tonight. But he may start tonight, but I just don't see it when the regular season starts. I don't think he's far enough along to where the Chiefs feel comfortable with that. Maybe later on in the year he picks it up to the extent that they're okay with that. But right now I think he's still a little bit of ways away from being a regular.
We're talking right now to Adam Teicher, Chiefs insider from ESPN. All right, let's talk about Tano Passanio. What do we, you know, where are we now on the Tano Passanio meter as far as to what he will do and what he should do? I mean, I think he's been labeled as this project. 1 year's enough, right? Or you don't draft the guy in the second round. I mean, it is time for him to produce. We shouldn't be waiting any longer, should we?
No, I just don't know. With the Chiefs drafting a guy at his position, I don't know how much he's going to play. Remember that he was drafted by John Dorsey, and now we got a new guy in town as the GM, and I'm not sure. Now, he's not the coach. He doesn't decide who plays, but I'm just not sure that there's as much love for Tano Passanio maybe as there was when he was drafted. So that's not to say he's going to get cut. I don't think he will. I think he'll make the team. He may end up playing some. But you know, right now he's fourth in line among those other guys. And if there's not an injury there with the other guys, I don't know how much he's going to play. He'll play some. But I don't know how much he'll see the field if Ford, Houston, and Speaks are playing and healthy.
I won't hold Brett Veach accountable, right? He was part of the think tank on drafting Tano Passanio and all the guys that have happened, all the draft picks that have happened on Andy Reid's watch. But no, it'll ultimately be John Dorsey that wears that one when it's all said and done. But, you know, Bob Sutton was part of the discussion, right? And Andy Reid was part of the discussion. The guy who's not here anymore, and maybe this is why, is Gibbs, the linebacker coach. If he was the one saying, oh, yeah, I'll make this guy a linebacker. You know, I mean, you don't get to just – listen, I will – it will ultimately go on the scorecard of John Dorsey that he took Tano Passanio. But there are plenty of other people around here. If he, as a second-rounder, doesn't work out, there are plenty of other people that are going to have some of that on their hands as well.
No, I agree. You know, no, it's not like the other guys are blameless. You know, one thing they did with him when he first came in, or not long after he came in, that was a red flag to me, is they drafted him to be a defensive end. You know, an Alan Bailey kind of, you know, that type of guy. And not long after he got here, they switched positions with him. And I don't know. To me, that's a red flag. That doesn't mean he can't be a good player at his new position. But I don't know how you draft a guy to do this, and then early in his NFL career you determine, well, he can't do that, so we're going to try this. That to me is always kind of a little bit of a, well, we don't know what to do with this guy kind of thing. Again, I think he's got some value. I think he did some good things in the game the other night. I just don't know how much he's going to play, and how much of an impact he's going to have for the Chiefs this year.
Second round picks were really, I mean, not getting a franchise quarterback was number one for the Carl Peterson era coming, falling apart, or ending. I don't say falling apart, but ending here in Kansas City. Second round is a spot where you've got to get real talent. You know, a review of the second round under John Dorsey shows us two of them went for Alex Smith, money well spent. Mitch Morse, Chris Jones, and Tano Passanio, and now Breland Speaks. At the end of the day, are we satisfied with what they've got out of the second round with the Andy Reid regime?
Yeah, I mean, it's too early to make a call on Speaks right now, but the first two guys, I think you'd certainly be happy with them in the second round. Now, Passanio needs to make a leap here, but I cannot say he won't do it. I mean, he might, you know, because he has come a long way, but he's got three guys sitting in front of him, and maybe it's not until next year that he has this impact if D Ford moves on at the end of the year. But I just don't know what kind of impact he's going to have this year. Maybe he'll have more than I see right now, but I don't see a huge role for him.
What can he do in the limited time he gets to get in front of those guys? I mean, it's one thing to say, you know, if he tears it up in a preseason game, I mean, how great would he have to be tonight and next week to move in front of any one of those? So he's not going to move in front of Houston, but to move in front of the other
two. That certainly helps, but I'm just wondering a little bit how much his playing time doesn't have to do with the guys in front of him. You know, I mean, if Justin Houston is Justin Houston and D Ford plays more like he did early in his or that 1 year, 2 years ago, the first half of that season, and Speaks is what the Chiefs think he might be, then I don't know there's going to be a lot of playing time for him, no matter really what he does. You know, so I think to some extent, maybe his impact this year and his amount of playing time is going to hinge on the health and the playing, the performance of some other guys ahead of him on the depth chart.
Yeah, I mean, still, listen, I talked to a scout just this week who, I mean, I was ready to say Tano Passanio isn't going to make this team. I mean, I viewed it the same way you did, that new GM came in and immediately drafted right over the top of the position that the guy was switched to. I'm with you, position switch. Yeah. I said it last year. I'm like, not good. And I've never seen anyone 6'7 and 285 play linebacker. So all those things were red flags. Then I talked to a scout this week who said the guy to watch is him. He's got some talent. Yeah. So, listen, I think beauty's in the eye of the beholder.
For sure.
You know, we'll see. Are we not focusing in? Look, pass rush goes into coverage as well, but is the pass defense getting way too much of a free pass? I mean, I know we loved the turnovers that Marcus Peters created. He was a dynamic playmaker when it came to the turnover part and the coverage and the interceptions and everything on that front, but they were still with him the 29th pass defense in football. Are we missing the boat? I mean, Eric Eager has talked about it, who's a football scientist, is his actual job title now, that he's full-time with Pro Football Focus. Data scientist. I thought it was football scientist. Data scientist? All right, data scientist for Pro Football Focus, so I'm going to make the leap and call him a football scientist. Anyway, he deals with the math of it, and he said, you know, one of the more overrated statistics is stopping the run. Didn't say it's irrelevant. Just said it gets a little bit overrated, that the NFL is a passing league and you have to be able to stop the pass. Is the much bigger issue the pass defense?
Yeah, I think eventually it would be. I mean, the Chiefs played awful run defense last year and still won 10 games. So, they scored a lot of points and took the ball away from the opponents sometimes. So that certainly helped. But, yeah, I mean, I would agree with that. You can get away with a run defense that isn't great, particularly if you get ahead and you score some points and you're leading in games, you tend to make a team one-dimensional. And that's another way of doing it, of playing run defense in effect. So, yeah, I agree. I mean, yeah, and there are some concerns at the back end. I think the Chiefs may be better at corner than some people think they are, but it's going to hinge on that pass rush to me. I mean, that's where this season, the most critical issue for me, offense, defense, whatever, for the Chiefs, is their ability to get after the quarterback. If they can't do that, it might be a tough season. They've got to do better than they did last year. People have asked me, okay, maybe a guy who's maybe a little bit under the radar, not one of the big guys, not Mahomes or one of those guys, but who's a real key guy for the Chiefs this year? And my answer, is, without a doubt, is Dee Ford. If Dee Ford plays like he did the first half of that season 2 years ago, the Chiefs are going to have a very good season. But if Dee Ford is what he's been the rest of his career, the other part of his career, then they're going to be a one-trick pony with the pass rush, and this thing might get rough for him, unless maybe Speaks or one of the or Passanio steps up and becomes a consistent guy. I just think that this season for the Chiefs hinges so much on what they can do with their pass rush, because I think if they can get after the quarterback with any kind of consistency, maybe like they did 3-4 years ago in the early Andy Reid years, I think that that secondary is going to look a lot better, and the corners are going to look a lot better. I think the Chiefs have what they have back there. If they stay healthy, they're good enough to win with.
Yeah, and I do too, but they're going to need to play better up front when it's all said and done. If you know, it goes hand in hand. Pass rush and coverage. It's the longer you cover, the more time you got to get there, the quicker you get there, less time you got to cover. So we're certainly looking for that. Sammy Watkins had a lot of money spent on him when defense was clearly, statistically speaking, by far their bigger need. Now, offensively, they had nothing in the second half against the Titans. I was reminded of that this morning. When I was on the air in Nashville, I cannot stress how much I had put that game out of my mind and how much it was a punch in the gut again to have to relive that game. They were doing their NFL previews and going through each team, and it was up to the Chiefs, and so they were talking about the mistakes and problems that showed up in that game. But Sammy Watkins, certainly would have helped, I presume, in that game. And given another weapon to Alex Smith and maybe a bubble screen to Sammy Watkins gets broken and he goes the distance and it's different. Yeah, they survive. It's a survival game at Arrowhead, but they win at Arrowhead finally. But again, talking to scouts, I said, "What do you think of Watkins?" They said, "He lives on his combine, basically. I mean, he lives on his tools and not his production." When will you get concerned if we're not seeing production out of Sammy Watkins? I'm extending that on into the regular season. If it's like, listen, I don't care if he catches one ball in the preseason. Fine. How far in do we have to go before you go, here's more bad cap management, because you're going to get the $750,000 and $6 million that he has averaged for his first 4 years in the league?
Yeah. I think that's something to watch, and maybe, 3-4 games into the season, if it's not happening, then you do need to start to wonder. But, it's been pretty clear that Tyreek Hill has been getting the ball more in training camp than Sammy Watkins, particularly early in the middle parts of camp. Maybe it's evened out some in the last couple, 3-4 practices, but it's certainly Hill for the whole of camp. Hill got the ball more, and then he got the ball twice in the game the other night, and Watkins didn't get it at any. And now, hey, they could have thrown those little screen passes to Watkins. I mean, there's no, they certainly could have done that, but I just wonder a little bit. I mean, I guess. I don't need Sammy Watkins to be as good as Tyreek Hill. I think the world is Tyreek Hill. I think he's underrated as NFL wide receivers go, but he needs to be better probably than he was in camp. And even in the preseason game, although he only played, 9 plays, there has to be more from him for this thing to work the way the Chiefs want it to work. I still think it'll come, but that's an issue to watch for sure.
We're talking to Adam Teicher here in the program. All right, do we get our first touchdown pass from Patrick Mahomes? He has not thrown one wearing anything other than a yellow jersey. That includes the Bronco game. Do we get our first touchdown pass tonight?
Yeah, he had a few last year in the preseason. I predict they will. I think the Chiefs want to you know, you and I talked about him last week, if you remember, Seren. I thought after the game the other night against Houston, he was kind of frustrated at what they'd shown. You know, he was like a hitter who walks to the plate, you know, who's after, you know, 10, 12 at-bats is still batting 0-0-0. I think he was just a little frustrated that the Chiefs hadn't gotten something done. So I think the Chiefs might put a little more effort into trying to get something done tonight on offense and get that goose egg off their record right now.
All right, Adam. Appreciate it. Great stuff. As always, enjoy the game tonight, and we'll talk to you next week.
Absolutely, sir.
All right, Adam Teicher, Chiefs insider from ESPN. We will take a break, react to some of his comments. Not big on the Tano Passanio.
No.
And, you know, kind of a dividing. You're either kind of all in. We're all rooting for him. He's a great kid.
Right.
Right? We're all rooting for
great
him.
Great story.
But whether or not it's going to be productive or not. But yeah. Adam Teicher didn't make me feel. How does he get in front of anyone?
I know. It's like either he's not going to get in front of Houston, but one of the two guys in front of him has to disappoint. They're probably going to give Speaks a little longer leash than Ford. But, best he can do is either kick everyone's ass in practice and earn more playing time, or when he is in tonight, get a couple sacks. Maybe he moves ahead of someone they're disappointed in. But sounds like from Adam's take, that if they're healthy, he's 4.
913-3810-810, the phone number. Will open up the phones. We'll talk Chiefs football with you. Also want to talk about John Elway's comments about offering Colin Kaepernick a spot. We will get into that, whether he really did or didn't make a legitimate offer to Colin Kaepernick. Tom Brady does not look like Father Time has caught up to him. What does that mean for the Chiefs' chances here in the AFC? 913-3810-810, you're in the program.